This is how we drink. You open your heart and you drink God. You open your heart wider. After you receive God, you pour, let Him pour through you like a perfect circle of life. Just let Him surge through your very core of your being and fill the atmosphere where you are. Let's practice now. Let's be doers of the word. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I just love you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Spirit of God, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living and dwelling inside this holy temple of the Lord. God, I just place this body on the altar of fire right now to accelerate my growth. Did you know that a chicken slowly decays in the cold fridge? But the courageous quickly accelerate in the fire of God. It's the polar opposite. Cold is like slow. And the Bible says, be quickened by the Spirit of God. You know? God will quicken us, Holy Shaka. Quicken us, Holy Spirit. Quicken us. Let that fire of God come and burn up everything that's not of you. If there's a cold heart in us, God, just set it on fire by the living words of the living God. I just receive your presence, Lord. I thank you. I just take up my cup and I dip it into the fire of God. I dip it into the river of life. And I just drink it, Lord. Purify me on the inside. Just like that angel took a coal of fire from the altar and put it on Isaiah's lips so that he could speak purity, speak your words. God has put my entire being on the coal, on the coals on the altar, God. Don't have to bring the coals to me. Just lay me on the altar, God. Let me sit there and sizzle until there's nothing left but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, shada ba 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 da ba. Just let all the flesh nature melt off. Refine 7 times if you need be. Oh, shakarebe. Thank you, Lord, for fresh impartation of your Spirit. Quicken me, God. Make me sharp in the Spirit. Make me quick. Like a double-edged sword, God, dividing soul and spirit. Make me quick in the Spirit. To discern what's of man's soul and what's through his spirit. Hallelujah. Because the soul, without spirit words coming through it, it's just, ah, oh, what a waste. There could have been so much glory on that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for just prying us wide open as we open our hearts wider for the King of Glory to come in. Fling wide, you heavenly gates, so that the King of Glory can come into the earth realm. He's already come into your heart, but he wants to come through that gate into the earth realm. Hallelujah. Oh, we don't want to hide God. The Bible says that you are the light of the world, and the city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Shabba. So the light of the world is coming through you to do what? To let there be light in the world, releasing Christ into the world. Hallelujah. Shabba, shabba, shabba. Shakare keroma satare shotarabasata. Holy Spirit, thank you, Father. And suddenly there was a noise from heaven. That's what the book of Acts says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Just like all you need is a spark. All you need is just a little spark for the Holy Spirit wind just to, and it just sets the whole world ablaze. Everywhere you go, just the winds of God blowing through you, the Ruach. Let the Ruach blow through you. You know, you lay on the altar, that heat's going to get on you. And then when the wind of God comes, it's going to blow all that purity out through you into the world, so that it'll be on earth as it is in heaven. It's pretty bright in heaven. There's no need for the sun in heaven because the Lamb is the light thereof. Hallelujah. I'm just going to make a drinking video. I just decided I'm not very good at intellectually explaining things very well, so let the Spirit of God do all the explaining to our spirits as the body of Christ. You know, now we're not all just individuals, although we are, but we're one collective body of living stones reflecting the cornerstone. Hallelujah. There's no superstars, just one superstar. It's, you know, Jesus. It's with those wise men. They looked up and they saw a unique star, and they followed that star. Came to baby Jesus. And they lay down their gifts before him. Hallelujah. They gave a sacrifice to him, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, Shaka. I mean, imagine that, like a baby. The King of Glory in the form of a baby. You know, the power, he had enough power in that baby just to wipe everyone out and the animals if he so desired, but that's not his will, that's not his way, he wants everyone to come into glory. To be glorified. Yeah, he wants the old nature, the fallen nature, to be wiped out and destroyed so that the Christ nature can live through and through and to and to. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for your peace. Shatare koramashike. I couldn't sleep last night. I didn't have very much sleep. I was sitting at the table and I made a quick random video and just got smashed in Jesus' name. I love the suddenlies of God where you suddenly just... I didn't feel anything until I just started talking about the glory. Wow, man, there's something about the glory. There's something about the glory just brooding through you. There's something about the glory just, you know, bringing us into reality. I love the glory of God because it's of God and it changes us into his nature, makes us more hungry for reality. Shabba. Anyways, there's a suddenly, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know what that tells me? That one accord, that one place is Christ alone. You gather your friends around you, get into one accord in one place. God's gathering everything together in Christ. Everything outside of Christ is in darkness. Because, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's a life-giving spirit. You know, Christ means actually like anointing. And the anointing is spirit. So whoever's not living in the spirit is living in darkness. You know, existing is a better word. You can exist in the light and live, or you can exist in darkness and be dead, you know. So come into the life. Because it says right here, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You want that rushing wind. You want that fire of God to be stirred up here. Let's read a little bit further. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Cloven tongues as a fire. It's like in Isaiah, he had a cherubim or a seraphim or something flew to one of the, what do you call those things? A coal on the altar? Help me, Jesus. And it flew over to him and put the coal on his mouth or on his lips so that he could prophesy. Because he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He recognized his own humanity nature, that we're all born in sin because of Adam that went and screwed up and started eating all this knowledge without spiritual substance. That's what the knowledge of good and evil is. It's just knowledge about good and evil. There's no substance, spiritual substance on it. That's why it's death. It's kind of like Pharisees quoting scriptures to bind you. It's like the devil quoting scriptures to Jesus in the wilderness so that he can tempt him to submit to him. The devil will use scriptures to tempt you to submit to him, a religious spirit. He's the father of lies. He's the father of religion, you know, the religious spirit. God does not want us bound in shackles and chains. He wants us free as living spirits. You know, the first Adam was something, and then the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. And we're made in his image. Life-giving spirits. We are spirits, and we're life-givers. What are you giving? You're giving him. You're giving Christ in you, the hope of glory manifesting out through you is manifest glory. Glory is the person of God. You're letting God come through your heart. You're letting God come through your words. You're letting God come through your actions. You're letting God come through your thoughts. You're letting God come through your soul, even. As God fills your spirit goes through your soul, and your spirit, and that goes through your body. It's like when you have your spirit, your soul, and your body in perfect harmony, you're walking in perfect peace. Your body's not in discord against your soul. Your soul is at peace, your mind, your will, and your emotions with what's going on in your spirit. And your spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you're in one accord and in one place. You're in Christ in heavenly places. Even though your body's on the earth, you're still in perfect harmony with God. Because David even said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Your flesh can feel God. I've tested it time and time again. I used to lead worship inside a street church, and I would go there. These people, they've heard about God. People preach to them, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. Now, who wants to come to the front? Yeah, that's fine, okay, we all know we're sinners. Like, how about you manifest some of the goodness of God and the glory of God and the presence of God, and then they'll see the goodness and taste and know that, wow, this is God. This is what God's like? You mean he's not like a religious, angry person pointing a finger all the time? And they'll want to come. I remember I was singing this song. We're singing Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I call it the Benny Hinn song, because that's like they play it like every service or crusade. My mom used to watch him. I used to tape record Benny Hinn on my VCR. You remember those big tapes? Wow. Wow, man, I'm aging. Hallelujah. Feel glory on that, Shabba. Hallelujah. Benny Hinn. Hallelujah. I used to tape record it with my VHS cassettes. And they would sing Hallelujah, and I would cry, man. I'm like, I see all these people getting healed and touched by Jesus, and wow, I wanted to do that too. I'll talk about the Hallelujah thing in a second, but I did. I tried that. I was like, man, Benny Hinn can do it. I can do it. So I go onto the streets, and I would tell everyone about Jesus. We go out every weekend with my guitar and sing songs in the. We look for the darkest place. Where are all the drug addicts and drunks and prostitutes and people fighting? Maybe they just break out in fist fights right behind me. I have my eyes closed and I'm singing with my guitar, and I don't even know. I'm like, man, you guys feel that? I go into vision, seeing like just all these like heroin needles piled up to the heavens, people throwing them down, saying, I don't need that anymore. I need what you got. I want God. And I would tell people, yeah, man, get out of your wheelchair. Let's take it to the pawn shop and get you a skateboard. A lot of times they won't get healed. I drag people out of the wheelchairs and I drag them around. They wouldn't get healed. I'm like, what the heck's going on here, man? And I realized that Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And I only say what I hear him saying. So I realized, oh, there's power gets released when you see it first in heaven. That's why I say, like, if you can see it in heaven, if you can see it in heaven, you can manifest it on earth as it is in heaven. So hallelujah. I saw a lot of people get saved because I saw all those needles get thrown into a pile, and like, you know, I saw it in heaven, so that's going to manifest on the earth. And one of those times I was in this street church. It's where all the street people go to have like a hot dog and just relax for a while, get out of the sun, get out of the rain. And we were singing Hallelujah. It was really dry for the first part of the service because I don't even remember what happened. It was just dry and boring. There was no anointing. Then one of the guys, I guess there was some fighting going on. Like one of the street people were fighting with the staff. And he's like, you know, we need more love in this place. I stopped. Like, I'm the worship leader. I can do what I want. I can get kicked out. I can worship God. I lay on the floor, sometimes with my mouth open, just drinking the rain coming down from heaven. I get rebuked by all the religious Pharisees. You can't do that. You got to perform. And like, I think I was being more useful just by receiving the manifest presence of God than trying to perform for God apart from the presence, you know? So, as I'm sitting, we stopped everything. We need more love in this place. And I stopped and I said, yeah, God, did you hear that, God? He said, we need more love in this place. And suddenly, from heaven, the manifest presence of God just flooded the place. I can feel it now. God just flooded this place. We were all together in one accord, in one place. You know, I know God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh because I've seen it. Street people, sinners, heroin addicts, prostitutes, drug addicts, Christians, Buddhists, it didn't matter. We're all in one accord, in one place. But the Spirit of God suddenly landed on us. Now, they had a choice whether they wanted to go back into prostitution, back into their false gods, their Buddhist gods, back into their heroin, back into whatever. That's all a choice. Once the Spirit of God reveals to you, like, this is who I am, of course, you can run or you can run. You run to Him or you run away from Him. Thankfully, everyone in that building that day stayed. As far as I remember, and we were all just singing Hallelujah, and then we go higher and higher in the keys, Hallelujah. And I think I lost my voice. I got really high, and I couldn't sing any higher. And the presence of God was so thick. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I gave an altar call or whatever. I don't know what I did. I don't see altar calls in the Bible. I just see that where the Holy Spirit fell on them. You know, Peter was talking and then the Holy Spirit fell on them. I don't think he gave an altar call. I don't know where that came from, but I don't know. I gave altar calls before and people have gotten saved. So praise God. God will use it. But this time the Holy Spirit just fell on them. And it was like there was this silence afterwards. I stopped saying, okay, you're all dismissed. Like street people, like sinners, like we're all sinners. Why do we put people in categories? The suit and tie people, you know, they're just as wicked. Street people, suit and tie people, everyday moms, pastors, you know, preachers, school teachers, you know, slaves. Whether you have money or you don't have money, it doesn't mean anything in your spiritual life. It's like, how wide can you open your heart to God? How much can you manifest the presence of God as your measure of your righteousness? Christ is your righteousness, but fruit of the Spirit is evidence of that. So, man, they all just sat there. They were quiet. I'm like, wow. Nobody wants to leave. What do I do? What do you do? Usually everyone just wants to leave after they have a religious service, you know. But once the presence of God shows up, it's like it's not even religious anymore. It's like, wow, the kingdom of God is here. I didn't know anything. I should have went and grabbed some more people and dragged them out of wheelchairs. I didn't know what to do. I was just like, wow, I'm receiving. They were receiving. They could feel the presence of God. You know what impressed me the most, though? Just this random angry guy said, you know what we need in this place? We need more love in this place. And God answered that man's prayer. You know, he probably was, I don't even think he was a believer. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But God did show up that day, and God did fill that place with his love. It's like supernaturally, we all just turned into the spirit. We all tuned into the supernatural realm. We all tuned into reality in perfect unity, and nobody wanted to leave. I didn't want to leave, but I had to close it down because that's what organized religion does. Like once the service is over, shut it down. Let's get back in the natural realm. Let's get back in the natural mind. Let's leave God behind until next Sunday. You know, why can't you just walk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in the spirit? Why do you have to leave the spirit and walk in the flesh? Yeah, it's kind of dumb, eh? The mindsets that we have sometimes until we get our mind renewed by the Spirit of God so that He quickens us and knows, like, this is available 24/7. We can roll with God on His throne. Do you know that God's throne has Hot Wheels? It's in Daniel chapter 7. God rides a Hot Wheels throne, man. Daniel chapter 7. He's like, I beheld and thrones were set in place. And like one of the throne had wheels of fire on it. Hot Wheels. Man, God's wheels, like God's stuff is decked out. Souped up. He don't got no cheap stuff, man. He's got a Hot Wheel throne. Hallelujah. Shabba. Oh God, I love your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just stop and take a drink break. God, you know what? We need more love in this place. Hallelujah. We need more love in YouTube. We need more love in Podomatic, God. We need more love on Facebook. You know what more love is? More God. Not this fake love. Love you, brother. And then you just go off and do your own thing. There's no substance of spirit of love on your words. It's just love you, brother. That's cool for a while, but you know, I like substance. I'm a substance abuser. I just need my fix of love. I need my God fix. I need God more. You know what? I think I put on my Facebook the other day something like this. We need more God. Like an alcoholic just craves and will do anything for like a drink. That's the way we gotta be. Just gotta be so thirsty for God that all other distractions are just gone. I gotta drink God. You know, all my money's left. I only got $5 left. I'm gonna spend it all on like two beers or whatever that buys, you know. It's like I only got $5 left. I'm gonna give it to God. I'm gonna go get like a Bible or something. I don't know what you spend with it. How do you give $5 to God? Go feed a hungry person and tell them about Jesus, you know? Wow, it's more blessed to give than to receive, because when you give, you actually receive it. You'll receive more to give more, and you just receive an abundance. Shaka baba. Shata reka bo shakaraba sata. Shaba. Just take more, Lord. Fill me with your ruach. Fill me with your love. Just blow through me, God. Blow through me. Just like the winds of God blowing. You know that, who was it who wasn't supposed to go to battle till they heard the wind blowing in the trees in the Old Testament there? Come on, we are like trees. The guy who was blind, Jesus healed his eyes, and he said, like, I see men walking like trees. You know, we are oaks of righteousness. You know, he's the vine, we are the branches. Come on, we are like trees, symbolically. And when the wind is blowing through the trees, we're moved by the Spirit, we'll win. How do you win? How do you become an overcomer? You let the Spirit of God blow through your branches. You let the Spirit of God grow fruit on your branches. You let the Spirit of God just rule and reign in your heart. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. It's ruling. The peace of God is Spirit. The peace of God, He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is ruling and reigning in your heart. And you let that peace rule and reign. You give Him the reins so that He takes your heart and shaya, go! And your heart just goes boom, just blasts through the atmosphere and get everywhere that river of life goes, it brings healing. Just like everywhere that water flows in Ezekiel, from Ezekiel's temple, it brought healing. life. It's the river of life. You're a life-giving spirit. You're to release the life of God. Well, how do you release the life of God? When you yield to the river of life. When you yield, when you fling wide your heavenly gates, and the King of Glory can come in. Come into this realm. God, we need more love in this place. Hallelujah. What he's saying is, we need to tune into the love of God. We need to tune into the Spirit of God. We need to tune into the reality. God, pour your Spirit out upon all flesh, whether we are Buddhists, prostitutes, homosexuals, homo sapiens, whatever that is, lesbians, if they go into the dual washrooms, what do you call those things? Let revival come to the washrooms, Lord. What do you call those? The girl boy washrooms. God's gonna pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, man. Doesn't matter if you're sitting in the throne room or on the throne, you know. God does not a respecter of destination. You know, they used to think in the Old Testament we had to go to the temple to worship. But the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. So you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to a church building. You don't have to go to a park. You don't have to go to a synagogue. You go right deep inside in that most holy place inside you where Christ Jesus is made king. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He abides. You know, you manifest a throne through your praise. When you praise God, when you worship God, it's the secret chambers of your heart where God dwells, and you can worship him in spirit, which is in the Holy Spirit, and in truth, which is in Christ, or the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. It's all in the Spirit. You worship God in the Spirit, and that's the location. It's not a physical location. It's a spiritual location. Where is that place? In Christ. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord and in one place. They were in Christ. Hallelujah, man. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You notice how they were sitting? Some of them might have been standing, but it says, my Bible says that they were sitting. That's like it's in a place of ruling and reigning from your throne. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. In Christ? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all the principalities and the powers of the air. And you're like ruling and reigning with Christ over all the dark forces that try to stop humanity from like walking in the image of God. So, don't get this mindset that you have to be a Christian, you have to be a pastor, you have to be this, you have to be that. God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He can touch them, whether they receive him or not. That's for after when he touches them. Our job is the body of Christ, is to get everyone into one place. You know, even Saul, when he came into Samuel's atmosphere, he started prophesying too. When he was, you know, King Saul in the Old Testament, what happened was there was an open heaven opened up by Saul, because Saul was a prophet. It's like Samuel came under his mantle. I mean, Saul came under Samuel's mantle, and he started prophesying too, and he ripped off his clothes and stuff like that. And then this proverb went around, is like, oh, is Saul also among the prophets, you know? Well, what happened is he came under that mantle. It's like same thing with you. When you manifest Christ out through your heart, through your spirit, man, you open up an atmosphere, a realm where people can come under that mantle or come under that atmosphere in Christ, that you're manifesting an open heaven, because the kingdom of God within you has just been opened, like unlocked you so that you can manifest an open heaven around you. And people can step into that and just have a touch from God. Sometimes it's from the laying on of hands. Sometimes it's just atmospheric where the glory shows up and angels and the kingdom of heaven and cloud of witnesses and all the glory stuff starts showing up and people start like, wow, God is real. There's an atmosphere. I can feel it. And, you know, it's tangible. It's a substance. And they will want God or they'll run away. That's how God's going to pour his Spirit upon all flesh through his body. Because it's from, like, as the days of Noah, from deep within and from the heavens above. It's going to be sovereign pouring atmosphere from glory from above. And it's going to be as the saints of God open up their hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory, just going to shoot through your gates and manifest that glory out throughout the whole earth. As the waters cover the seas of humanity, the living water, the river of life cover the seas of humanity. It's going to be a lot of glory, man. And we've already seen parts of it, just little glimpses, but it's going to be worldwide. Hallelujah. So keep your gates open. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says that the gates were not to be shut day or night. The gates are not shut day or night. The gates are wide open. Hallelujah. And shabba-dabba-ka-dabba. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. See, as you rest upon God, you sit upon it. You sit with Christ in his throne, even as he overcame and sat down with his Father on his throne. You can sit with Christ on his throne. Come on. You sit with him and God sits on you. The tongues of fire rest on you. As you rest in God, the tongues of fire will rest on you. And that's when you go out and start doing good works, living works, not dead works. You don't have to drag people out of wheelchairs and they not get healed. The Spirit of God just heals them sovereignly by the atmosphere, by the glory manifestation, by the reality coming forth through you, by the river of God washing away all the darkness in your path. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So let's just have a drink from the Lord. God, I just take your living words. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the light, from the mouth of God. I just receive your words through my heart, God, right now in Jesus' name. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So I choose to eat that living bread, that revelation. I choose to drink that wine of intoxication, the pure blood of Jesus. It just fills me with your Spirit, God. Hallelujah, shakariku. I love the suddenlies of God. You can just be sitting there and suddenly, boom, you just get an explosion of the manifest presence of God. I love that. God, release that grace. I've seen it a few times in my life. I'll just be sitting there just fooling around, just making, like, just kidding around. And then God just comes and blasts me. You know why? Because when you become like a child, you just enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't even matter. You get all serious and, like, there's times to be serious. There's times to be joyful. And there's times to be, like, just whatever. Like, I just prefer to, like, live in the Spirit. Because if I live in the Spirit, I can walk in the Spirit. Because that's where my life comes from. It's life in the Spirit. And I can walk it out on the earth. And it feels good. I love the way the Spirit of God feels. Don't you like life? I love life. I love life. Hallelujah. Shokare kuro kuro ke. Ora ma shokara basetere. Hallelujah. I love your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit. Just fill me. Let's fill the atmosphere now. Fill the neighbors, God. Fill the neighbors. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, let it just be soaked in the anointing of God. You know, your head is anointed. Jesus is the head, right? Ha shaka. You know, I used to memorize a lot of scriptures, and then I quit memorizing scripture. Maybe I should go back to memorizing it. But I realize that when I memorize a scripture, I don't really get any revelation. It just seems like it gets stored up here, but it's not stored in here, you know? So here, let's read this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's something right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I once said to this pastor, I think they were trying to make me a youth pastor in part of his church, and I'm like, no way, man, I don't want to be that, because he called me in for a meeting. So I went in there, and then there was this associate pastor with him, and then this other pastor. Me and the associate pastor, we had some clashes. I don't know why, because like it just seemed like he wanted everything done like according to the schedule, the pamphlet, you know, what do you call those things, the bulletin. And I would feel the glory. I'm like, man, let's stick with the glory for a bit. Let's, you know, who cares about the schedule? And like, I don't know. That's just the way I think. I'm like, the glory is more important than the schedule. You know, because the glory will change people eternally, where the schedule is just like, okay, we had a fun like little performance there. And holy. Anyways, so I kept looking at this. I don't know, I feel kind of bad, but not really. I don't know if it was the Lord through me, but I was all stuffed up, and I was like, sinuses were plugged. I could barely breathe. And then as soon as I showed up at this meeting, it just, boom, instant clarity. The sinuses just, boom, I could speak clearly, because I was having an allergy attack from these cats or whatever. And I was totally clear. I was like, okay. And then they were talking about me like, kind of like discipling or something, not discipling, they use it like, they were just using these weird terms that they wanted me to hook up with the youth, because I think they wanted to make me a youth pastor. But I knew, God told me that morning, that no, you're not called to be a youth pastor. You release what I've given you, like the talents that I've given you, you release those in the spirit. But he's not called me to be a youth pastor or put me in some kind of weird structural position. I'm just called to release whatever God's given me through my relationship with him. And so I don't know, because I'd probably, you know, I'd probably destroy the whole church, and just like, everyone will be like me, the glory, man, the glory. You guys feel that? And Aaron Doyle, they're like, oh, let's do the announcements later, man. The glory's here. Everyone will be in the glory. I'll write the programs. I don't know, maybe God needed it for the older people, because there were some older people in the church too. And, man, I love that place though, man, because first time I went there, I'll come back to that story in a second. First time I went there, I was looking around, and I saw like the dove and the cross on the wall and the pipe organ. It was like, wow, this place is decked out. And I looked around at the people, they're just deep in worship, and God spoke to me. I love this place. And I was looking at the natural things, the pipe organ and all that, and God was looking at the hearts and the spirit realm. I love this place. And they were all gathered together in one place, in one accord. God loves that place where we're just worshiping in spirit and in truth, just fully surrendering everything to God. He loves that place. And, I can't remember what I was going to say now. Shucka. Anyways, yeah, back to that pastor. I was like talking, I think they were trying to make me a youth pastor, and I said, you know what a true pastor is? They will always lead the sheep to living water. And kind of went silent in the room. I was like, is he talking to me? I'm the pastor, you know? He didn't say youth pastor either. And a true pastor, a true shepherd will always lead the sheep to living water, not to themselves so they can, you know, hoard off of you so they can build their own ministry. They're there to build you up by you getting you to the living waters, getting you to feed off the shepherd, not the pastor, but Pastor Jesus. You know, he's your bread, he's your living water, he's your source. A true shepherd just shows you the way, how to get to the way. He just shows you, you know, the teachings of the Lord, how they get their water. That's the same thing you can do. You go straight to the shepherd. He's the way. Walk in him, you know. Hallelujah. And it was like about 30 minutes of just like me kind of like piercing them. I don't know. I don't think it was me. I think it was like God just doing something through me, but it was kind of scary because they were kind of intimidating. You know, that one, the main pastor, he's really powerful. Like, he'll lay his hands on you, fire will go through you. And the other guy, we just had all these clashes, so I don't know. Whatever. I can't even remember what I was saying, all that. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. He will always lead you to still waters, living waters, so that you can be refreshed in your spirit, refreshed in your soul, and you can be strengthened. That's the shepherd's job, is to protect you from the lion, from all the devouring spirits that want to try to kill, steal, kill, and destroy you. His job is to lay his life down, to lay his life down, not lay your life down to build his up, but lay his life down to build you up. That's what a true shepherd does. That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down so that he came down from heaven to pick us all up in his resurrection life. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know why you shall not want? Because he's all the desires. He fulfills every desire that you will ever need, that you will ever have. You may think like pornography, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, money, the pride of life, thinking like houses, cars, thinking that you're somebody because you are a musician. You know, you think that your identity is because, like, say a band, let's name a band, Aerosmith, just random band, or Led Zeppelin. Like, they probably maybe thought their identity was in the band. Well, I'm the guy from Led Zeppelin. Well, that's an earthly identity. It's weak. Your identity is in Christ. It's not what you do. It's who you are. It's where you're seated. You know, your true identity is spirit. What you do is just stuff that you do. It's like, I'm in Christ. I like video games. I'm in Christ. I'm in a band, you know. My true identity is in Christ. He's the King of Kings, so your identity is a king, you know? So you should rule as a king and make decrees over your life, make decrees over other people's life for righteousness' sake, to break darkness and break shackles and chains. How could you say that you are a Christian if you don't release the brokenhearted? The Lord has anointed me with glad tidings. How does that go? Because Christ means, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, right? Christ means anointing. So if you're not breaking any yokes, how could you say you're a Christian? You said a sinner's prayer one day. It's letting the ever living one, it's letting the river of life flow through you. It's nothing you can do. Don't get into dead works. Please don't get into dead works. All I'm saying is open wider, fling wide you heavenly gates, and the King of Glory will come into that situation. Fling wide your mouth, let the King of Glory come through your words. Fling wide your heart, let the King of Glory flood your soul and flood your body with his peace. All you do is yield. Jesus himself said, I can do nothing. My Father does the works. He yields, he obeys. So you got to get to know the Spirit of God, get to know the voice of God, and you just obey, and it's simple, really. Hallelujah. Let's read that first. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. So you're going to open your words. God's going to use your mouth. Or text. You can text stuff on Facebook, wherever you have friends, or wherever the meek are. So, he's anointed you to preach. He's anointed you. If you're a Christian, you're anointed to preach. You're anointed to speak life words through your relationship with God. And hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He's proclaiming Christ, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not will. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. If you step into him by faith, let the blood of Jesus wash through your body, soul, and spirit. Let the blood of Jesus wash away all the death, all those thoughts of negativity. Let the blood of Jesus come and wash it away now, so that you can live, move, and dwell and have your being in him as he moves, lives, and dwells and has his being inside of you, temple of the Holy Ghost. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Look, he did that in the book of Acts to Peter. How did they do it? Peter and Paul? No, Paul and Barnabas, I think. Yeah. They were singing in a prison cell. They were bound. How do you get free? You worship. You worship in spirit and in truth. And when you worship in spirit and in truth, those chains and shackles and everything that binds you will break off of you. Not only you, but those who are around you, your sphere of influence, those who are around you in the same shackles and chains, who have been bound in like manner, you have the authority to set them free, because you've been set free by the Spirit of God through your relationship, through your singing and worship and opening up your heart to God. Hallelujah, man. Let there be a shaking so that all things that can be shaken will be shaken. Those things that can be shaken are the things that bind you. The things that can be shaken are shackles, chains, fetters, and darkness. God's not called us to be blocked in a cage. He opened it up for Peter, and he opened up for Paul and Barnabas. Hallelujah. God's called us to live as free range eagles soaring through the sky, flying through the heavens in Christ, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What year is that? Jubilee. It's where we get free. Hallelujah. The vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. The day of vengeance of our God. It's vengeance of God against the enemies of light. It's vengeance of our God against those who put God's people in shackles, chains, and fetters and iron. It's the year of vengeance, man. Wow, Shabba. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. God's going to restore all that was lost or stolen from you. Beauty from ashes. Beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Like, if you're mourning, not for yourself, it's fine, but sometimes we do that, but that doesn't make you feel blessed. When you grieve for others, because it's the heart of God grieving through you, you're blessed because the comforter comes. Or even if you're grieving over yourself or whatever, because, say you've lost a loved one, or you're just grieving, you know, you lost your puppy dog, you lost something. Usually you grieve when you lose something. Well, listen, Jesus lost. You know how many people have rejected him? Just be grateful that you can share in his sufferings. You know, you may have lost your husband, you may have lost your wife. But listen, Jesus lost multitudes into darkness because Satan deceived them and they believed the devil more than God. So you can share in his sufferings. Pray for those who you've lost. Pray for those who are walking in darkness so that they can be pulled out of the fires and placed into his marvelous light and to see him. He will give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, heaviness is a spirit. How do you get rid of spirit of heaviness? Praise. Praise God. Get your right mind back. Start praising God in the spirit. Start speaking words of life. Thank God that he's working patience in you. Thank God that your life is not your own anymore, but you've given it to God. So God will take care of you. God will take care of your life because you gave it to God, right? Step out in faith to walk into the throne room of grace and behold his face and be empowered from glory to glory as you step through his face into reality, walk into the kingdom of heaven. It's your home. He's the King of Kings and he has many kings living with him. In his Father's house are many mansions. Glory. So just walk with God. Don't give up, man. Jeez. One time I prophesied. I didn't even know how to prophesy. But all these people, like, man, I just, boom, something hit me. The spirit of prophecy hit me. It was like fire went into my bones and I felt like I was going to explode. This was in those street church meetings again. Oh, maybe I should go check those out again. I haven't been there in years, but I had a lot of cool experiences there. Well, God sent me there. That's why I went. Or else I wouldn't have probably went. I did it at first for fun, but then God sent me, and then it got real serious after that. And they said, whoever wants to give a testimony or something, come up to the front if you have a word. You know, so I'm like, boom, the Spirit of God just landed on me. I felt like I was going to explode. These people are taking so long talking about, like, well, yeah, I found a dollar on the street and I got a coffee, or you know, whatever. They're taking so long, Lord. I feel like I'm going to blow up. I don't want to lose this. And finally, it was my turn. And the last guy that went up before me, he was like, oh, I just feel like God is so far. I feel like, oh, I'm scared because I just keep sinning. And I don't even know if I'm repenting or not. Blah, blah, blah. And he's just freaking out. He was freaking out in his soul. We've all been there if we've been walking with God for a long enough time. You know, you think you blaspheme the Holy Spirit or something, you know. Devil throws that on everyone that I know of. And then the word came out of my mouth instantly. As soon as I got the mic, I said, God has not brought you this far to give up on you. He will perfect that which he's begun in you. And I started just prophesying this word. And I saw that guy, he stopped at the stairs as he was going down. He stopped, his eyes went wide. I think he started crying. And he knew, God knew that that word was straight for him. Hallelujah. Listen, God will provide a way out of escape. If you're you'll never be tempted more than you can handle. Because you step into his strength. And if you don't know how to step into his strength, he'll send someone to speak words of life to you. It may be in a dream, it may be in a vision, it may be just a thought, it may be in a sermon, it may be in the Bible. God speaks in multitudes of ways, but it's always by the Spirit. And that was by the Spirit that was revealed. And I don't know who was more encouraged, me or that guy, because the whole atmosphere in that place just shifted to peace. Oh. And even the next week, I went back, the pastor like, does anybody have a word? And he looks right at me, because I thought, like, you know, I could just conjure up a word at any time I wanted. You know, I wasn't mature back then. It was just that was grace. That's what God wanted to release that time for that man. So I just sat in my seat like, no, I don't got no word. So men will try to worship you and they'll try to kill you. You don't go by the approval of men. What happened to Paul? Remember when they got shipwrecked and they got onto this island here, and they were saying, like, this guy has escaped. He's a murderer, man. He's going to die. And then he saw, like, a snake jump on him and bit him. Like, the snake jumped out of the fire and, you know, latched onto Paul. And then Paul just shook it off. And then they waited to see if he's going to die, because they said he's going to die, you know, in the book of Acts. And then when they saw that he didn't die and he shook it off, they're like, this man is a god. Like, 1 minute, like, he's going to die. Like, he's going to die. He's a sinner. He's going to go to hell, kind of thing, you know. Next minute, he's a god. It's like, so the opinions of man are so, like, just double-minded, wavering back and forth. One day, you're like, you're this awesome anointed person. And the next day, they think you're a devil. So you don't go by the opinions of man. You go by God. You go by the glory. How much glory is manifesting through that person is like their level of righteousness. And if you can't even discern the glory, man, you got to spend time with God. Or else, like, where's your discernment? Is it just like, does it line up with like a scripture? These Pharisees memorized this book, man, cover to cover, like the scrolls, and they had no discernment. They couldn't discern Christ standing in front of them teaching them. What is your true discernment? The Spirit of God. He shall lead you into all truth. This Holy Spirit is your discernment. You can memorize this Bible and not have one lick of discernment. This helps. This is an anchor for your soul. Like, I read it like every day. But it's not my discernment. My discernment comes by the Spirit. It's called discerning of spirits. And that's spiritually discerned. So you spend time with the Holy Ghost, you can discern which spirits are perverse, which is the spirit of man, which is the spirit of God, which is the spirit of an angel, you know. You can discern different spirits. But this helps. But this is not your discernment. Because it didn't work for the Pharisees, who basically mastered the Bible with the knowledge of good and evil. But it wasn't in their spirit now. So yeah, get into the Spirit, get into Christ, you'll have true discernment. The depth of your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the level of the depth of your true discernment, because He is your discernment. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no discernment. Everything's, you know, give or take. you take something and you spit something out, whatever, it doesn't really matter. You just kind of create your own discernment. That's where, like, all these, like, New Age, all these things, it may seem so close, but it's so far, because it's just not the spirit of truth. It's like the knowledge about good and evil. Hallelujah. Well, Shaka, I love the Bible, man. Let's finish, go back to Psalm 23. Let's gather in that one place. It's in Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let the suddenlies of God come upon everybody who's pressed play in this video and who's still watching it. The suddenly, the manifest presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, the suddenly and the manifest presence of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. God, loose your warring angels, your ministering angels, and your spirits of fire to come and surround everyone. To thank you that we're equipped in Christ. Let us see clearly from where we stand in the kingdom of heaven. Shaka. Hallelujah. Hold on a sec. Oh, I thought somebody was here. Maybe some angels showed up. I don't know. Hallelujah. Wow. Shaka. Oh, I love the peace of God. I love the presence of God. Oh, God, I love your presence. Hallelujah. I love it when God just shows up and just stands there. Doesn't have to say anything. Doesn't have to perform. He just stands there and loves you. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because he's everything I desire. He fulfills all my desires according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, hallelujah. Green is rest. He makes me lie down. Like, we can chill. We're like a sheep, you know, when a sheep just chills. And just kind of gazes and goes into, like, revelation mode where you're just having visions. You just sit in the presence and you fall into a trance. And in the trance, you see a vision. You feel the presence. You feel the bread of life. You feel the wine of the Holy Ghost just brooding through you. Oh, you drink. You drink his wine, you drink his blood, you have life in you, you eat his bread, you eat the bread of his presence, you eat the bread of the manna of revelation, so his words are living right through you, you're just being electrocuted in life, just getting sizzled away, so there's nothing left but Christ in you, the hope of glory, you just want to follow that glory, everywhere that glory goes, you go too, hallelujah, shabba-dabba, glory. Yeah, lay down in the green pastures. I want to lay down inside my pastor Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to lay down. And there, look what happens. He leadeth me beside still waters. Get back up again after you have a rest in the Lord. And where are you going? You going for another drink. Still waters, peaceful waters. It's like, oh, it's just... there's no disturbance. You're just resting in the peace of God that passes all your natural understanding, all your understanding, all your doctrines, all your theologies. It's just getting soothed by the presence of God. He leads you beside still waters. You're following your shepherd. Everywhere the Spirit goes, you go. Just like those wheels within the wheels. Just like your spirit within your soul, within your body is just following God. I don't even know if the spirit is bigger than the body or the body is bigger than the spirit. It doesn't matter. All I do is I'm just following my master. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. He's, hallelujah. Oh no. But look what happens here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though you were going through trials, tribulations, the enemy trying to shut us down, the enemy's trying to pull us out of the peace, the enemy's trying to remove our joy and throw sadness and the spirit heaviness on us, but you know what you do? Put on the garments of praise, shake off that spirit of heaviness, and get back up and start walking with God again. Hallelujah, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. His staff is like, his boomstick, you know, like Moses had a staff too. He split the sea with it. God told Moses, lay down your stick. And then Moses laid it down, and then he told him to pick it up again, and it became the rod of God. He used to lead sheep before he came into that encounter with God. Then once he picked up that stick again, it became the rod of God. And he not only led sheep, he led an entire nation out of bondage. Hallelujah. God's tools. Those kind of tools comfort me. The power of God to destroy the enemy and to deliver a soul. That's comfort to my soul. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. How, Shaka, sit down and dine with Jesus. Sit down and feast on the Lamb. Sit down and have a drink of the living wine. Eat the living Lamb. The living Lamb. Sit down and feast on Christ. And let Him just be a part of you. Hallelujah. He was baptized into the Lord as one spirit with Him. Shabba. Thou anointest my head, with oil, my cup runneth over. Listen, Jesus is your head. We're the body. We're growing up into our body through revelation, through intoxication of the wine of God. We're growing up by eating the bread of His presence, the bread of revelation, and the wine of the Spirit, which is our discernment. Hallelujah. And we're growing up into our head. Look at this. It says, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You're growing up into Christ so that your cup can run over. You have enough for you, and you have enough for those around you. It's a double portion of anointing for you and your breakthrough in your life, and a breakthrough in the lives of those around you. It's like those prison cells getting flung wide open when Paul and Silas, Paul and somebody, or somebody was in the prison there. And those prison doors flung wide open because the anointing was on them to break the yoke. The Lord anointed. Look, Christ is your head. Just grow into your head. There's always going to be a continual flow of the anointing. Shabba. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it's like you're not even chasing goodness or mercy. It's like you're just following. You're following the Lamb. You're following Jesus and His goodness and mercy. You're chasing. You try to catch up, you know. You're walking in so much mercy. You're walking in so much goodness that you're leaving a trail behind you of goodness and mercy. You're just decked out in the goodness and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And He will dwell in your house forever as well. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, God's living and dwelling and moving and having His being in you. And as we live and move and dwell and have our being in Him. Hallelujah. Shabba. Okay, I'm going to go have a tea. Hope this video sort of helped you. Don't give up. The only thing you need to give up is your fallen nature. And you can walk in the risen nature of Christ in you, the hope of glory manifesting a tangible glory into the atmosphere through your soul and your body and your spirit. Hallelujah. God bless your face. It's grace.